part, because that first half was just an offensive masterpiece by both sides. Now, you can't have an offensive masterpiece, Joe Shasky, without a defensive disaster class. And that's also what we saw from Aaron Glenn and Nick Sorensen. Nobody could stop anything. It was awful. But
they blew another lead. And then the quarterback in three consecutive weeks threw an interception that ended
the quarterback blew the lead, first and foremost, because he threw two horrible picks. And then he got hurt on top of it.
And the kicker missed a bunch of kicks.
Oh, just, and again, I still think the worst kick of all was the onside kick.
Did you hear Baldy talking about
that? He's like, you got to get a bounce in there. You practice it before the game.
This is stupid.
You know in video games, you don't understand how to play and you're doing the kicks like on Madden and like that's what that looked like. Like he hit the X either too quickly or whatever.
Yep.
I don't even know. Hey, like, look, let me lay this out.
I was just going to like to play NFL Blitz, and like you could attempt like a field goal for like 75 yards and make it every time.
You know who so good. Plays football currently the way NFL Blitz was played back in the day?
Dre Greenlaw.
Yes, 100%.
Just trying like, to the hard, massive hits, these barrels of guys.
Dude, they made an updated NFL Blitz, and we'll get back to the calls here in a second. Richie Rich and Dave, I see you guys. They made an updated blitz, like I want to say like circa like 2007 or 8, where you can like take steroids and stuff and get back into the game. And you had to like take like drug tests and stuff. Look this up. They made like an updated NFL blitz game where you can actually be the at. No, I swear to God, 888-957-9570. Text me in at the Comcast Business text line if you remember it.
As a Niner fan, like last night's loss was such a microcosm of the entire year. 2024 has been, in my adult life, I truly believe, even in whatever life I want to choose, I'm 42 years old. I think it's the worst year in terms of depression of being a Niner fan ever. They had no business being down 24-7 as they're getting the doors blown off by the Detroit Lions at the beginning of technically the beginning was the January game against Green Bay where they played horrible, okay? And then they somehow found a way to eke it out. The Detroit game, they're down 24-7. They have no business being down 17, let alone coming back from 17 as fast as they did. They held on. They make the Super Bowl. They go to the Super Bowl. The field is a giant mess. I'm talking about the practice field that they're thinking about flying back home from Vegas that week. I don't even know if the coach was doing God knows what at the media day, whatever. They have Mahomes on the ropes. The Super Bowl is literally in one and a half hands, not two hands, one and a half hands. And you fumble it away. And then you don't know the overtime rules. And you lose to Mahomes and you become their version. If they're the Niners and they're a dynasty, you're their Cincinnati Bengals, where you've lost to them now twice. And you're a part of Patrick Mahomes' highlight package and Andy Reid's highlight package going into the Hall of Fame. You're watching their great tight end, who's now married up, essentially, with one of the pop queens of all time. And your tight end, who's awesome, is a footnote to that guy's history. And I feel he's just as good. Maybe not as a pass catcher, but as a player. I feel like he's just as good. Then I look at losing Dre Greenlaw, one of the heart and souls of the team. And I don't know if he'll ever be the same. Christian McCaffrey hasn't looked the same in 2024 at all to what he was in 2023. You give him a contract extension, he plays a handful of games, doesn't score a touchdown. Deebo Samuel, dangled in 2024, dangled in trade rumors, best shape of his life, one of the worst seasons of his career. And basically is a glorified kick returner.
We might have saw the last of Deebo Samuel as a 49er at Levi Stadium.
And still one of my favorite players. Sure. And it hurts my soul what he's devolved into. They drafted a wide receiver to maybe be his replacement, and he got shot at Union Square.
He did.
He's lucky to be alive.
Hey, Joe Buck saying that so nonchalantly on the broadcast yesterday, by the way, he was like, you know, Ricky Pearsall, he got shot before the season. He gets a reception there. I was like, what? You don't just say that. And it became so, like, because that's just it. We just say it not flippantly. I got shot. And for him to have the game he had last night
was incredible. But his 2024 has been horrible.
It's not been good.
It's not been good. Brandon Ayuk, are they going to trade him? Are they going to keep him? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to keep him? They end up signing him late to the party. And he had a disappointing start to the season and almost blew his whole leg off.
Destroyed his knee.
It's so unfortunate. Horrible 2024 for him. Mm-hmm. After the offseason saga of all of the Instagramming and family and friends and just everything. Trent Williams off the field. I mean, Jesus, I can't imagine what him and his wife are going through.
Yeah. Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, Charvarius Ward. How can, I mean, this team had championship aspirations. You kind of had, quote unquote, the whole band back.
Did you think, not to cut you off there, and it was a great tangent and great point. Deep down, you knew this team wasn't going back, though, right?
Joe, on paper, like, it made sense. But, yeah, knowing the league and all that stuff, I was skeptical. It's hard to do what they did.
It's so hard.
But, Joe, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. The quarterback got hurt again. The quarterback missed some time. Like, he hasn't played as good in the fourth quarter. I thought we had a guy way better than Jimmy. I don't even know. I don't know where he is right now. I don't know. The coach had to fire the DC. I would have fired the DC too. I was right with him. He made a worse hire. I don't know how he did. And it's one of the worst hires they've ever had. The kicker is one of the worst kickers in Niner history. Jose Cortez, Mike Kofler, they've had horrible ones. Their backup running back was running like an absolute stud. Hurt his shoulder, never was the same, Jordan Mason. Their triple backup or whatever, Elijah Mitchell didn't play at all. Nothing has gone well. Nothing has gone well. Nick Bosa has been a shell of himself until last night. Finally looked good last night. Fred Warner started off the year great. Has been clearly compromised with a broken leg all year. All year. This is one of the worst seasons in Niner history. They're in a cap flux. I don't know what to make of it. They've spent all the money I would have spent on all these great players. They've all underperformed or gotten hurt. My quarterback is hurt again this morning. We don't know the results of whatever they're going to do when it comes to imaging. I don't even know how good he is. I don't know how much to pay him. You had a backup, Sam Darnold, who I thought stunk. He went to Minnesota and is having one of the greatest seasons Minnesota's ever seen.
Why not?
And he's going to lead that team maybe to the number one seed in the NFC. Okay? Simultaneously, the team you lost to in overtime has one loss and looks like they're going to three-peat. This has been one of the more nightmare seasons on any sports team, but the Niners in particular, have ever had in my lifetime. It is a nightmare season from hell. Even Satan thinks this is a cruel joke being played on the Niners and Niner fans. It's, and I'm not saying like, woe is us, because we've had some great years, but come on, Joe, any one of those things can make you lose a season and you go 8-9, 9-8, you miss out. Everything's gone wrong. Everything.
The quarterback, running back, wide receiver. There is not one position group that has not suffered at some point this year outside of tight end, because George Kittle, again, and George Kittle has just been amazing this year, both as a leader, as a player, everything. He's probably going to be first team all pro. He should be. He's been amazing. He's been the one bright spot pretty much outside of him and Juwan Jennings.
You know what? I should have brought up, you're right. Yeah, Juwan, I should bring up. But again,
that's two in a season of just atrociousness across the board. And it's frustrating as a fan base to be so damn close, because it's one thing to be the New York Giants and know you're going to suck. To be the Raiders, you know you're going to suck. Like, to be in that position, like, you're going to get used to it because you've seen that. But the Niners have been knocking on the door year after year after year. And that's why there's part of me, if I'm a Niners fan this year and today, it's like, you know what? This is a pattern. They could have a bad year under Shanahan, and then next year they could be back in the NFC Championship game. That is what I have to tell myself right now, which sounds like, you know what, you're just throwing dirt on everything, it's fine, whatever. No. That is a pattern under this regime. And I know how much it means to them, and I know Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have not lost that locker room.
No doubt.
And that is important in all this, because I don't know if they're feeling that way in Jacksonville, in Las Vegas, in New York, with both teams, quite frankly. Like,
What's more tortured? Let me ask you, what's more tortured? Being a Raider fan currently, where you guys have been pretty miserable. Like, I'm being real here. Yeah. Like, what is the more miserable existence? Knowing your team has no shot, or the cruel joke that's been played on Niner fans, where you're at the altar and you're the bridesmaid all the time, and then you get closer and closer, and it just, it feels like we're cursed.
It could be worse. If you're ever actively rooting for your team to lose, like Giants fans were last week, like Raiders fans were last week, That is when you know it's bad. When you are actively rooting for the demise of your team so that maybe, just maybe, they can draft a savior like a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward, even if you don't think they are. Just the future of your team.
So no balloon is worse than having the balloon popped on you when you think you're going to fly away?
They just need some patchwork on their balloons right now, the 49ers. I can make the argument. Hey, and Baldy said it. Hey, if he bounces back and his injury is not serious, that's okay. I could be sold on the 49ers being back. You know why I could be sold? Because they're going to have a fourth-place schedule. That's locked in. They have a fourth-place schedule next year, and I know the talent from the head coach, from the players, from everything is going to be there when it's all said and done, when they play a fourth-place schedule against the likes of a Carolina Panthers or whoever, those the New York Giants, teams like that. So I could sell next season. I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is how this team is going to look in certain skill position players and certain group sets. And if that depth is going to get tested again next year, if it's going to be a snowball effect, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Brock Purdy, the player. It's if this injury is going to be a thing or not. And that's what Brock Purdy, and that's what you asked, sorry, not Brock Purdy, Brian Baldinger. And this is what Baldy had to say in regards to Brock's injury.
He's going to heal from whatever he injured last night. He's going to heal because he's healed repeatedly. But it is three straight years now with serious injuries. Now, we got to find out how serious this is. It's three straight years with injuries. There is a track record there that gives you cause for concern. It just does. When you can line up and play 17 every year, that concern never crosses your mind. Jared Goff can do that. He has done that. But it is a cause for concern. I would be more concerned about the injury history right now than I would be about late game mistakes.
Is that the biggest question mark for you right now, San Francisco 49ers fans? It's the injury history of Brock Purdy. Does that scare you the most when you look at the totality of this season and this team right now? Is it the health of your quarterback? 888-957-9570. We are live and local all day right here on 95.7 The Game. We are going to have Evan and Steiny coming in. We've got Willard and Dibbs. It was a hell of a job yesterday from Grandy and Willard leading up to the game at the Hill in Santa Clara. We are live and local, 888-957-9570. And we want to go to your calls right now because we got full phone lines, Joe Shasky. So let's start hitting them. People are fired up about this loss to the Detroit Lions. Dave is in South City. He's been hanging on tight. Dave, what's going on, man? Thank you for your patience. You're almost Spadoni. You're almost Shasky. It's the morning roast.
Evan, Steiny coming in.
Turn off your radio, Dave. All right, he's gone. Richie Rich out in Livermore. He wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. What's going on, Rich?
What's up, fellas? Good morning, Joe. Spadoni, you're doing a good job. Hey, check this out. TC, that dude's been trying to fire Kyle Shanahan from day one, dude. Like, that's all he ever does. I don't even want to hear it no more with that guy, dude. He was firing Kyle before Kyle was hired, bro. Like, he's not even a real fan. That's a closet fan, bro. Like, come to a game and come see what we see before you talk, bro. Now, let me just say this, man. Look, you're right, Joe. You hit everything on the head earlier. It's a microcosmic of what we've been dealing with. Why? Because it's not last year. Last year, everything went wrong. I mean, went right. Everything went perfect. This year, whatever can go wrong has went wrong, right? Brock looked amazing last year. Why? Because the offensive line played to their max potential, right? You had your blanket CMC, dude, at his high. Like, he wasn't making those oh-no throws, right? How many games did we really play last year from behind? We didn't much, right? And when Brock's ahead, he's a stud. He's lights out. But when he's behind and he's pressing like he did last night and what we've seen all season, that's what you get. You get those oh no throws because he's trying to get something going. He don't have the CMC checkdown. He doesn't have his blanket Ayuk. That's why we're seeing what we're dealing with. I'm not worried, and this is why I'm not worried, fellas, because, first of all, you've seen that schedule next year, right? Like, that schedule is it's probably the easiest schedule we've had yet. And this is what you got to do, man. I'm not going to start over and get another quarterback in there. You got to get that pick. You need to beef that offensive line to get Brock time to make plays. Because I don't care if you're a mediocre quarterback in the NFL. If you got time and that defense breaks down, you're going to make plays, right? And as far as our defense, yeah, that coach got to go. But with that being said, our front four has been trash this year. Oh. There has been no pressure whatsoever, right? We were good last year. Why? Because we were getting home. We were getting to the quarterback. We're forcing QBs to throw balls that they didn't want to throw, make mistakes, making the DBs and linebackers play better as a core, man. If we beef that O-line and beef that D-line, I think we'll be able to run it back next year and be a 10 to 11 win team, and we're looking at a chance to get to that bowl, man. What do you guys think, fellas?
I can't even think like that right now.
I get it, but I hear what Richie was just saying. That's what I was kind of like getting at. Like, listen, it sounds bad right now. It's not a good look. Quarterback got hurt, threw two picks. Didn't look great. The Lions are the best team in the NFC. So, like, that being said, you had a chance to win it potentially. You didn't. You got it close. The Lions didn't have anything to play for, really, but they put all their starters out there, and it was a close game till the end. And you know what? That gives me some hope, at least for next season, that the Niners are still right there with the NFC's elite. And by the way, this whole narrative that the NFC is all of a sudden caught up to the AFC, I'm not seeing it. They've gotten better, but I just look at the quarterback play in general, and that's what still gives me optimism, because I do think that Brock is still one of the top three quarterbacks in your conference, and that goes a long way. I think it's Jared Goff. I got to see it again with Sam Darnold, by the way. He's having a great year. This season is Sam Darnold, though. And then there's Stafford. Okay. And then after that, you got Hurts.
Baker,
sure.
Goff.
Yeah, that's... I still think I'm taking Brock Purdy in the top three if I was going into next season. Even Jordan giving up to everything. Yeah, no. Love has been disappointing a little bit this year.
I think Jordan Love is...
He's been... Did you watch last week?
Oh, yeah. No, he's kind of got a lot of Brock, but in reverse. So he looks really good late. He doesn't look good early. He's been a mixed bag.
He's got the physical skill set.
But he gives me a lot of wow plays. Like, see, that's the difference between what happens with Brock. He has to be so precise. But because of some of the physical limitations, that he has to be so precise. And I'm okay with a high turnover guy if you're throwing 36, 37, 38, 40 touchdowns. But if you're only throwing 20 touchdowns, you can't be a 15 interception, 7 fumble guy. You just can't. You can't.
Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about if there's promise for next season. This was after the game last night.
I think everything's connected, good or bad. I think it can lead to good things the next year. I mean, we're going through this. By no means are we happy with what we're going through, but I fully expect us to get better for going through this. I mean, even if it could have gone worse today, I expect us to learn a lot here going through this stuff, and I expect it to make us a better team next year. And when the season is over, I can't wait to get started figuring out how to do that.
Kyle Shanahan yesterday after the game. Let's get some more of your calls in. Schlepp, not Schlepp Rock, but Schlepp is out in Danville. He wants to join in the conversation. Hey, what's going on, Schlepp?
Hey, actually, it is Schlepp Rock. Oh. Hey, Shasky, really? You're okay with a high turnover guy, even if that guy might be $60 million a year?
No, what I'm saying is that, hear me out. I want to make sure I clarify.
I get what you're saying.
If you're throwing 60 touchdowns, I'm okay with 20 picks.
Who's throwing 60 though? I mean, I don't know, but that's not why I called. I called another reason, Shasky, is the Niners have lost multiple games this year. Like, they've lost two games in a row a couple of times. They've lost three this last turnaround. Brock's throwing too many interceptions. I think he's thrown at least two interceptions in these last three games. There are your turnovers. You can't be turning over the ball in key times of the game, and most of the times it's in the fourth quarter, and that's been his calling card lately.
Yes.
And I just don't see this guy being a $60 million, $50 million contract signing quarterback. I think Mayfield's better than him. Baker Mayfield.
He's had a better year.
He had a good year. He's got a good compilation of what he's been doing in the last 5 years. He's just on a team that's balling out right now, just like the Niners did last year. But I just turnovers are turnovers. Not only is it the interceptions, but I don't know if it's his hands or not taking care of the ball. He fumbles a lot. Yeah. And again, a lot of times it's in the fourth quarter when you're trying to make that comeback. Yeah. I just don't think Brock Purdy's the guy. His arm is injured again. He was already suspect with his arm strength now and the elbow surgery. And now this, I don't know if you guys are going to put all your money in one basket and sign this guy to that. You know, that's That's just me, you know.
I'm with you.
You guys have a happy holidays.
You know,
yeah, you too.
Cool.
Happy New Year.
I want to make sure I clarify this. So, like, I'm going to use an example. And, like, this is how I view Josh Allen.
Sure.
Like, Josh Allen's going to fumble the ball.
Yep.
He handles it a lot. Josh Allen's going to turn it over a lot. So, like, last year, forget this year. Last year, he threw 18 interceptions. He had 7 fumbles. That's 25 turnovers. He ran for 15 touchdowns and threw for another 29. Okay? So, the way I view, like, okay, he accounts for 45 touchdowns, all right, by himself, 45 touchdowns, and yeah, he had 25 turnovers. I don't love that ratio, no. But it's a little more palpable than right now. Brock is on pace, yes. I think the 20 passing touchdowns, a handful of rushing touchdowns, so let's say it's about 24. He's basically at a 1-to-1 touchdown to turnover ratio as a quarterback. If I combine his rushing touchdowns with his passing touchdowns, that's not good enough. Right, I don't love any turnovers, but if you're giving me explosive plays and you're scoring a ton of touchdowns, I can live with a 2-to-1 ratio, right? Ideally, I'd like to be 3 or 4-to-1. That's what's making Burrow's season so great. And Josh Allen this year is down to 8 interceptions, 28 touchdowns.
Been a lot better this year.
He's
when
been
it comes
way
up.
Better at ball yeah. security. But what I'm saying is that I'm more tolerant when you can explode and have a ton of touchdowns. Last year, I think Purdy threw for 32 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He had the 11 picks. He had 6 fumbles. Right? That's a 2-to-1 ratio. 2.5-to-1 because he had a lot of rushing touchdowns as well. So, like, I can live with some of those turnovers. That's a turnover a game, right? I can live with that because he was scoring 2.5-3 touchdowns a game. I can live with those. This year, the ratio hasn't been as good.
And when you are not as good on defense, it's going to fall on you. Like, Patrick Mahomes can get away with some of that stuff. You know why? Because he has the best defense in the NFL. And you know what? More often than not, he's got the cachet to say, you know what, I've won multiple Super Bowls. I'm one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time already. I know when push comes to shove, I can make a winning play when I need to. I'm not going to worry about these. Like, Andy Reid's not worrying about some of these interceptions in games, like in the third or fourth quarter, because he knows what? If he gets an opportunity to come back, he'll make the play.
He's a made man.
Yes.
He's a made man. Like,
Brock's
this,
not yet.
No.
He's not.
No. And there are some guys are made men. Like, Stafford is now a made man after the one Super Bowl. You know, like, Jared Goff's not a made man.
No.
So when Jared Goff, at any point, if he struggles in the playoffs or falls short, we're going to pick him apart. Like, that's not fair or not fair. That's sports.
Yep.
Curry's a made man. Curry cannot be picked apart.
Mm.
You know, Jokic is a made man. He cannot be picked apart. Wow. Right? James Harden is not a made man. He can be picked apart.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron's a made man. So this kind of comes down to who's a made man and who's not.
Is Hank in Stanford a made man? He wants to join in the conversation. What's going on, Hank? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, how are you? 3 things. Number one, I was a Browns fan back in the Schottenheimer era, and it feels like the Niners have a Schottenheimer problem with their coach. They can get to the altar, but they can't quite finish the deal. Number two, Purdy is a qualified quarterback, didn't have a supporting cast. You see a great comedian with no supporting cast, and the movie stinks. So I don't think you can blame him entirely. You got to look at the offensive line and so forth and so on. And number three is they got to have a good backup on linebacker, not somebody who quits. Linebackers, you do get hurt, and you need to have somebody qualified to back that up. And that's it, guys. Happy holidays.
Good call. Thank you.
Succinct. Good call, Hank.
Look, and I think that's the conundrum they're in with Purdy currently. It's not really even a conundrum. The situation is basically this. Everybody likes him. He's had a down year. But he is coming up for a potential extension. How much? How little? And then what do you surround him with? These are all the questions moving forward. And the more he makes, a little more difficult it is to build the team around him. And as we're learning now, like, just be careful how much you pay him. Buyer beware. The bigger issue isn't just the play. It's also the injuries. Like, the injuries to me, like, they better hope this is just a stinger.
And
they better hope it's just a stinger.
This is what Brock had to say in regards to his injury. And if the pain was similar to what he felt in Philadelphia, where you were, Joe Shasky and Bonta Hill, when you witnessed his elbow get shredded.
A little bit, but there we did some tests with, like, UCL stuff, and I'm good in that regard, but we just got to go get imaging on it tomorrow and see the whole thing. So
hopefully it was a stinger there from Brock Purdy. Nothing to see here going forward, hopefully. But even if things end up being clean today, I don't play him next week. I just at this point, shut him down. What are you playing for next week in Arizona? Really nothing. You weren't playing anything really for yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. If Ricky Pearsall, sure. Get some Josh Dobbs some run, sure. So he can audition for some other teams as a backup next year? Absolutely. But other than that, real quick, since I brought him up, how the hell is Josh Dobbs not playing over Brandon Allen? Like no, seriously, like, come on. Like, the guy won games last year for the Minnesota Vikings. What has Brandon Allen done?
Backed up Joe Burrow.
Like, come on, man. Like, that stuff. Like,
Does anyone know who Burrow's backup is currently?
That's my favorite Brandon Allen fact, by the way. People are like, he's good. He backed up Joe Burrow.
Dick Brownie actually looked good and won some games last year for the Bengals in the spot. So that's why I know. And he went to University of Washington. Come on, Huskies. But to your point, Sam, yeah, like, Brandon Allen. What?
I just love how that was a time. Like, Brian Hoyer backed up Tom Brady, but that was never a thing. Brandon Allen backs up Joe Burrow. He's really good.
Well, that's what was the Matt Castle and Ryan Mallett.
I'm happy with Matt
Jimmy
Castle.
Jimmy G.
Oh, that guy.
Jacoby Brissett. There you go. Every single backup.
Jacoby Brissett won that one game.
Yeah, thank you. He played last week, and Drake May had to go out.
I didn't even know he was in the league still.
He started the year. He played against the 49ers. He was the starting quarterback. That seems like forever ago, that win against the New England Patriots. Joe Shasky is just shaking his head right now, folks.